Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. It's Halloween and days before Election Day 2020, and I am so pleased, so privileged, so honored to be joined once again by none other than the President of the United States, who must be the next President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show on 710 KNUS. It's great to have you here.
Amazing, Jimmy. Flawless show once again.
Yeah, I just got to hear the applause one more time. Welcome. Welcome, Mr. President. It is so great to have you on. As always, you did Jimmy at the Crossroads earlier today, my web show in partnership with the Washington Examiner, and now you're here to have some fun. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Once again, a flawless show, as I say. You've done such a marvelous job. No one knew. I knew all along. And so much.
Well, I appreciate it, President Trump. You have accomplished quite a lot. Amy Coney Barrett is now Justice Amy Coney Barrett on the United States Supreme Court. How's that achievement? That's a pretty big one.
ACB, unbelievable. And she's so young. She's done so much. Everybody said, all the Democrat Party said, you can't have a family and be a mother. And I was, no, look at her. How much has she accomplished in a young life? It's fantastic. And she's going to make the best decisions that a Supreme Court justice has made since John Jay. Unbelievable. A long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for darn sure.
Not only that, Jimmy, but I have what Wayne Gretzky called. He told me, he said, you have a hat trick. Three Supreme Court justices. Unprecedented.
That is tremendous. Three. It's a full hat trick. Congratulations, Mr. President. All right, how you feeling in the home stretch of the campaign? You're up against Sleepy Joe Biden. What's the dynamic like?
Sleepy Joe is the turtle, the tortoise, and I'm the hare. Except somebody forgot to tell the tortoise that there was actually a race going on. And so I'm already at the finish line, and he's just rolling over, trying to get off of his shell, which is terrible. I feel sorry for him in a way. I really do. Poor Sleepy Joe. Poor Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
Why don't they help him? Tip him over onto his little hoop.
Well, the biggest thing to me right now that Sleepy Joe needs help with is Hunter Biden and the emails now. It looks like Biden himself, Joe Biden, may be tied into some of these corrupt dealings. Who knows? We're trying to figure out what we can to learn all the information that we can. But now Tony Bobulinski, an associate, business associate of Tony, of Hunter Biden, has come out saying, look, I've got documents, I've got emails, I've got text messages. I was there once in a meeting with Joe Biden. What do you make of all that?
This is no different than The Sopranos. There's so much, you know, infighting and sort of that kind of thing. Tony Barbecue is what I call him. I mean, keeping with the mafia thing. He has got the apple in Joe Biden's mouth, and the spit is turning so quick. So quick with these guys. They're criminals, let's face it. When this all comes, the regular media, the mass, they're not going to cover it. They're going to hush hush. NPR, are you kidding me? They're going to turn this into Dora the Explorer. There's nothing to be seen here. No.
I mean, this is
earth shattering. And if it comes out by Tuesday, which I think it will, I've got some very scary Halloween news, by the way. We are going to win this thing so much and so hard.
What is that Halloween news?
Well, first of all, What Joe Biden wants is more traffic circles. I don't know if you've heard this. Traffic circles are terrifying to the general public. They're confusing, especially to our World War II veteran era adults. They didn't fight in World War II for traffic circles. It's not like, you know, let's join hands and let's be hippies and go in a circle. No. You end at a four-way stop and you take your territory if you dare. If you're not, you get spit to the side. That's the American way. Also, this whole thing about the taxation, you are going to be paying so much in taxes. The middle class, there'll be no middle class. It's just going to be one. It'll be chaos. The riots will start. If this guy wins, the riots will start at midnight and they won't end.
Mr. President, President Trump, will you pledge today that if you are reelected as president of the United States next week, that you will work hard and diligently to end the scourge of traffic circles?
Traffic circles are out, Jimmy. I've done so much work. I've been working on this for ages. You know how much I've accomplished? The American people.
A lot. A lot.
And now it's time to turn to practical matters, infrastructure, including traffic circles. Nobody knows the rules. Am I on the right side? Does the left go in? Maybe I should just floor it. Crash! Wrong.
Yeah.
You don't want that. No more. No more. There's been so many deaths. Thousands of documented cases. People don't know the rule. Come to a four-way stop. Those traffic circles are gone. They're gone. They're gone.
President Trump, will you work hard and diligently to make sure that more American jobs come back to American soil?
Oh, my gosh. The thing is, what was it? 10 years ago? Was it under Obama? These jobs were going to Mexico. The Keebler elves! Keebler sent their factory to Mexico. Such a tragedy. These elves, they didn't even speak Spanish inside the tree. They sent the tree down there. They didn't know what they were doing. Who knows what ingredients? In grams? How many grams of chocolate chips go in? They don't taste the same, Jimmy, anymore. I'm going to bring the elves back. They're going to feel at home. They're not going to have, they're not going to have to take a siesta. They're going to work. They love to work, these elves, and they're great workers. But they don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
They are going to have, we're going to have American cookies again with sugar. And my favorite was the oatmeal raisin, and it's lost.
Mm. Okay. So, Mr. President, I do have to ask you about China. We're continuing to see a lot of issues with China. We need to take a tough stand, especially in terms of human rights and so forth. But what's your overall sense for where things are at with China and where you'd like to take it in a second term?
I'm very tough on China, Jim. I'm very tough. As you know, I won't give an inch. And the thing is with tariffs, they're very intimidated by me. Not like by Obama. I'm going to take, and they're making some very weird choices down there in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is the capitalist nation of the Orient. Here's the thing. I'm going to bring back capitalism to Hong Kong in my next work. We're going to have so many great Jackie Chan films. He's gone dormant. He's afraid of the communists. There hasn't been a great Jackie Chan movie in the last 10 years. There hasn't. And there's going to be. I know Jackie very well. He's a great guy. And he votes Republican when he can.
I'm not so sure that he is a registered voter in the United States, but I'll have to double check on that. How about Xi Jinping? Do you have a good relationship with the ruler of China?
Well, Xi is actually a he. So let's get that straight. First of all, he told me that they're probably going to bend on these tariffs that I have. They're probably going to bend a lot, and they're going to give such breaks to us that we need, and things are going to change. They're our biggest trade partner, pretty much, and we're going to work hand in hand. They're nice people. She's actually a very good guy. He is a very good guy, and we're going to work together. They're a little bit confused because of the communism, but we're going to get that straightened out. They may even turn full capitalism. They might be flying the Chinese flag with some stars and bars or stripes, whatever.
I am not so sure. I share your optimism at this point, Mr. President, but that's okay. All right. I want to go to the phones where we have a gentleman named Gary who is on the line. Hold on. Let's take a listen to this call.
Hey, this is Gary Busey. I'll be your political advisor today, sir, if you will. First of all, I want to congratulate you on defeating COVID all around. It's a virus, but I agree. Most people don't need to wear a mask because what they can do is just take a leaf of kale and stick it over their face. Even a virus doesn't want to have anything to do with kale because it's terrible. Also, don't worry about my vote. I've already voted. I used the still available Pony Express, which few people know. Pony Express were very brave because they faced the Cherokee at the Battle of the Big Horn. And even with Colonel Mustard at their command, we still lost. Also, good luck in defeating the legendary 400-year-old Joe Biden.
Do you have any response to listener Gary?
Gary's a very great friend of mine. He lives in Malibu now in a very fabulous mansion. Also, Gary voted for me. Let's be honest. He voted for us. And the thing is, Gary's a poet in a way. Much of what you probably just heard was his form of poetry. And most of it was true. I mean, it really was. I mean, Colonel Mustard, sometimes he gets the names wrong, but historically, that's pretty correct.
Okay, very fair. Also, from somehow beyond the grave, I think that this is maybe a Halloween thing, but Ronald Reagan is joining into the show. He's got a message for you. Let's take a listen.
This is former President Ronald Reagan. Now, Donald, I served two terms, not through guile and malice, but through intellect and, well, a plainsfolk attitude. I remember during my acting days, I was in a film called Curse of the Werewolf. And what we learned there was there's a thin line between morality and insanity. And Donald, don't trip over that line and fall on your head. That would be unfortunate. By no means.
Any thoughts on that, sir?
That was amazing. Ronnie is still great. There's the veil between the living and the dead at this time of year. As you know, Jimmy is very, very fine. So some of these ghosts from the past, they'll come and talk to me. And they have some very great advice, just like Ronald Reagan, our great president. What he said was very wise. Very wise indeed. And I take that under consideration every time. Yes, absolutely.
Well, from the great beyond, we also have something from John F. Kennedy. Let's take a listen to this one.
Great guy.
Donald, this is former President John F. Kennedy. I sent man to the moon and returned him safely to Earth. What I propose that you do, Space Force, going back to the moon, capture Joe Biden, send him up in a space capsule, and land him on the moon, where he can live out his days in peace. After all, he doesn't even know what planet he's on right now.
I think that's brilliant from JFK.
It's very true. Very true. Jack was a great guy. My father knew him, and they were very great men. He had some very wise things to say. Everyone says, oh, there was so much. Back then, there wasn't that much animosity as there is now between the Democrat Party and the Republican. The thing is, it's great to hear from these people, especially at this time of year. I've got a very close link to the underworld and to the edge. What he said is pretty correct. You know, I've got Space Force. He was an inspiration for the Space Force. Very true. And now, this time, we can land men on the moon and in total luxury, and they can use their iPhone.
President Trump, is Joe Biden all there? You know, you watch him. So there was this video that I saw of Joe Biden going back and forth backstage behind his wife, Jill, just back and forth. And it was just like, what in the world is going on here with Joe Biden? What is he thinking? What is he doing? Do you think he's all there?
One of the other Halloween surprises, I'm going to give it a giveaway right now. It was supposed to be secret until 9 o'clock tomorrow night on Halloween. But what she does is she'll have him walk in circles to calm his nerves, and then he comes right behind her, and she slips him a dog biscuit. It's crazy. I know, but it's true. And that calms his nerves.
That seems reasonable, actually. That
shocking
seems pretty normal for Joe Biden. How about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer? You said something on my show on Jimmy at the Crossroads web show earlier that really struck me. You accused them of being porch pirates.
This is groundbreaking, Jimmy. This is another Halloween surprise. Halloween miracle. We have evidence from the FBI as well as the CIA. They're working hand in hand. Who knew? There's video footage, van cams, and Ring. You know, the Ring where you have the door and you can talk. Video evidence from last Christmas. These guys, Chuck and Pelosi.
Chuck and Nancy.
Okay, fine. So he would stay as the getaway driver in the van. She would get out of the van and creep up onto the porch, stealing the presents of the children who Santa loves so much. And off they'd go, their porch pirates. There's so much evidence. This is locked in. This is case closed. Case closed, folks. Case closed, their porch pirates. How awful. We elected them.
This is explosive. This is explosive, President Trump.
This is TMZ. Can you imagine what TMZ is going to do with this?
I don't know, sir. I don't know. All right. So just a couple final questions for you. Number one, how do you think Tuesday is going to shake out?
Tuesday, I'm not worried about it. It's Wednesday when these Antifa, Queen Latifah, I've heard she's been rioting a lot, Queen Latifah. She seems so nice. But she took over Portland. They are going to riot around Queen Latifah so much after I win. I mean, Katie, bar the door.
Okay, and you're expecting a victory.
I know I'm going to prevail. I just know I'm going to prevail. There's no question. I've been told many times, you know, you got to watch out. You know, every 4 years, no one knows. Look at what I defeated Hillary, you know. The big bad wolf who came at me. No one took it. No one thought I could win. What a miracle. Oh, you can't. There's no way. And once again, this year, it's going to be like knocking over a Dixie cup.
And Mr. President, on Halloween, what are your thoughts for our listeners?
The scariest thing is that this guy is still in the running. Let's be fair. But, you know, it's like at the end of, well, it's at the end of Halloween, right? Michael Myers, you know, he's still out there. He might run again, but we've taken care of the problem. We've taken care of the problem.
What do you think Austin Powers would say about this election?
What would he say? He would say probably something like, well, when I win, and I'm not very good impressionist, but when I win, you know what he's going to say, right? Yeah, baby. Yeah. Something like that. He and I are very great fans. He was a member of MI6 and so forth. And, you know, he's around today, even in these days, he's advising. Austin's, he's a wild card, though. You never know what's going to come out of that guy's mouth.
Okay, just kind of came to mind a little bit. So just a final question for you, Mr. President. What words of encouragement do you have for our listeners right now as we go into Tuesday's election day?
I would say cast your vote. Mail it in if you want to. It's very dangerous to mail things.
No, actually, Mr. President, I would suggest that now is too late to mail in your ballot. You want to Dropbox it or you want to do it in person.
Have your driver drop your ballot off. Have your driver do it. You don't want COVID. So go ahead and have your driver do it, and it'll be registered very clearly. But, you know, it's probably already I've won. But go ahead, you know, put the final nail in Sleepy Zombie's coffin. Let's be honest. So let's just do it. Other than that, happy Halloween. I don't do a costume normally. I'm not big into costume. I'm not. Please, folks, don't be worried. Don't be worried about the outcome. It's in the bag. But there's also the, you know, maybe the U.S. mail is going to get their way and corrupt the election. If that happens, here's what's scary about Halloween. It's going to be a zombie invasion. These people who don't think. Led by Zombie Joe, that's what I like to call him, Zombie. He's the zombie leader. He'll lead this nation into such corruption and horror. It'll be terrible. But if that does come to pass, which is not, no one's going to. But if it does, 4 years from now, my God, we're going to have such a great run. Can you imagine 4 years more of me after this? And then Johnny Jr., there it is. We're good for the rest of the century. And then Ivanka, that'll be great.
We will be very curious to see. It will be something if that happens, Mr. President. That's for darn sure. All right, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, happy Halloween and best of luck to you on the home stretch of the campaign trail.
Jimmy, you're down at the crossroads. I'm right there with you all the time. You have a fantastic show. Believe me. This is great. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween so much.
President of the United States, current and the next one, Donald J. Trump, joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We're going to take a quick break after this parody fun. I just love being able to have a little fun, especially on Halloween. You got to do a little parody stuff, right? Keep it right here. It's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. We've got lots more coming up. Don't go anywhere. Right, final segment on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Gonna get right to it. Yesterday, I caught up with Armstrong Williams, who is a noted entrepreneur, syndicated talk show host, leading black conservative, author of the new book, What Black and White America Must Do, and the feature of a New York Times Magazine interview tomorrow. Entitled, He's a GOP Insider and Trump's Friend, he says, vote your conscience. But you'll see some enthusiasm. You'll hear some enthusiasm for President Trump from Armstrong Williams. I want to play a big chunk of that interview because I found it so interesting and fascinating. Let's get right to it. I think that's what it comes down to more than anything is how policies of the president or another candidate are impacting people's lives. That's what drives their votes.
Yeah, and listen, there's no such thing as more corrupt with the American voter. You're either honest or you're not. You're either corrupt or you're not. You're either a racist or you're not. When Joe Biden says, you're not black if you don't vote for me, I mean, those are simple things for people to remember. And they remember this. Had Trump said this, there would be an outrage. So are you telling me someone can call themselves a Democrat and make racist comments and therefore they get a pass? But if Trump says, stand down, just hold back, or Trump goes to Charlottesville instead of good people on both sides, to many people, it's all the same. The outcome is the same. And because you can cancel out each other, then you can deal with the real issues that impact you, whether it has to do with unemployment, whether it has to do with immigration, the fact that years ago, Kim Jong-il was talking about raining down missiles on U.S. cities, and now none of that is happening. And people thought it was a joke and ridiculed Trump for meeting with him. Mm. But Trump made him human, and the conversation changed. So no matter how much credit you don't want to give to the president, not because of, but in spite of the things that you may not like about him, Trump has really honored his promises. And look, Joe Biden and those can ignore the third quarter numbers that just came out, which shows that the economy is on its way back. I know they hate the fact that numbers are out. And the voter knows that deep down in their heart, they wish those numbers were in the toilet. And because they're not, they choose to ignore them and talk about something else. They know Trump is not to blame for the pandemic. He could message it better. He could tweet it better. He could show more responsibility, but he's not to blame. Mm. In fact, they feel it's something, a spiritual illness, something deeper and more meaningful than anything that man can control. So therefore, if the president could just be normal for a week or two, he probably could win by landslide. And guess what? The president has been normal the last week. The president has literally, more than any time that I can remember, has been normal. He has not said anything outrageous. He's not done anything outrageous. His last debate was fantastic. He appears civil. It's as if he's not even the same person. Mm. And then the people say, oh, okay, I forgive him from all the other stuff. Now you're giving me, because they really want to support it. They said, Mr. President, give me something. Give me something. I don't want socialism. Give me something. And therefore, he showed civility.
Right.
He showed respect. And he even complimented the moderator during the 60 minutes debate. So just being normal gives the president another edge.
Again, we're talking with Armstrong Williams here on Jimmy at the Crossroads. And I think disciplined Trump is really what we're seeing right now, is that he is disciplining himself to constrain some of the things that he says and does, so that what he's doing is focusing the American people on what is important, which is their lives, the policies that are impacting them, and the economy, and so many different facets of the economy, too. I mean, we're just seeing the jobs numbers that have been coming in, and of course the GDP numbers. And what's so striking to me is, I think more than anything, what we have seen, Armstrong Williams, is this: the country was starting to open up more in quarter three, and people were able to live their lives more. They were having to, of course, take precautions and so forth, but at least get back into the economic game, which is the critical component to making an economy work. It's not government spending. It's not government guidance on what you should do or what you should buy or how the government is stimulating the economy. It is unleashing the unlimited potential of each and every individual, of entrepreneurship and so forth. That's the key to improving the economy and getting prosperity rolling. And that's what I think President Trump has been guided by, whereas Joe Biden's saying, I'm willing to lock down the American economy if the scientists say we need to. President Trump is saying, no, we really can't do that, because that's going to cause tremendous harm and really set back our economy. And now I think we're seeing what happens when you start letting the people get back to doing what they do best and living their lives and doing their jobs.
Well, the American people are just fatigued out with pandemic, with COVID-19. You know, they realize that people are going to get sick. Unfortunately, people are going to die. But never before in the history of our country have we ever shut down an economy as a result of it. They think Biden is on one extreme, trying to shut down everything, close everything down, and live in his basement. Trump, on the other hand, flaunts it. He gets out of the hospital, he rides around in his limousine, exposing his driver. Then he comes out of the hospital, he tears his mask off. While they want to show strength that you can overcome and that you can beat, and we should not allow COVID-19 to control us, there may be a time and place for masks, for the sanitation, for the distancing. And they like to see him give more and more credit for that. So you have the two extremes. But when they come down to it, they find themselves more where Trump is than where Biden is, because they've got to make a living. They got to take care of their kids. They got to make sure their kids get an education. They don't want to become isolated. They don't want to lose their skill and their way of life. And they don't want to be laid off their job. People still have to live.
It's interesting, too, what we are noticing with various communities across the country. We have seen, of course, the left go after President Trump, accusing him of racism without fail since he was a candidate in the 2016 election cycle. And yet now I've noticed a lot of prominent black rappers like 50 Cent and Ice Cube and now Lil Wayne all getting on board, at least to some extent, by showing some appreciation to President Trump, not so much because they are trying to read his heart, but they're looking at what he's doing and the plans that he has put forward, such as his platinum plan when it comes to the black community. And they're saying, look, you're actually taking the time to meet with us, to have conversations, to explore these issues in a meaningful way. And I think that diminishes the narrative that the left has been trying to put forward all of these years by saying, wait a second, President Trump is actually doing and he's listening.
Yeah, and it's even deeper. I mean, 500,000 people lifted out of poverty. Hmm. You actually thought it was going to take 10 years for this money to penetrate itself in these communities, $100 billion, and already is up to $80 billion. I mean, entrepreneurship is being created. Thousands of people through his Second Chance program have been released from prison and being integrated back into life. I mean, when you take people like Ice Cube and Lil Wayne and 50 Cent, these are issues that they've cared about all their lives. They've seen the lip service from Democrats and they've seen the lip service from Republicans. And because they care about their community, if they have an opportunity, because they lived in these communities, they know people in these communities and they know people who died in these communities. If they have an opportunity to tweak and look at the platinum plan or whatever the president is coming for, and then they finally see the president release this plan and it has some of their input, they know they're not just some stooges sitting around some room meeting with Jared Kushner, that he's really listening to them and taking their value advice and implementing it into policy. And so the attitude is, you can call me whatever you want to. I'm going to sit at whatever table that's going to advance my community, advance our agenda, and give us input into what really impacts and can be a game changer in our communities.
Hmm. Well, and I think this is exemplified in the idea of talk, all talk and no action, that President Trump in the second debate with Joe Biden said against Biden was, you're all talk and no action. President Trump is really highlighting the results, going to the economic points, the opportunity zones that Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, went to President Trump and suggested. That's provided a tremendous opportunity for people across the country where you can look at the results of what he's doing and then stress those results and compare against Joe Biden, who's been in D.C. for 47 years, and say, wait a second, what has Biden done versus me, President Trump, in now less than one full term of office?
No, I don't think it's fair to say that Vice President Biden has not done anything in 47 years. The unfortunate thing about politics is that in a political season, so much that a person has done is not relevant to the headlines that the media care about.
Very true.
I have no doubt that Biden wants to advance the communities, whether it's Latino, African-American, or overall American societies.
Sure.
I think the issue here is that, is he tied to the same old ideas of the past that has only crippled people more than uplifted them? More people are in poverty today than they were 30 or 40 years ago. There are more people who are illiterate today than they were 30 or 40 years ago. And while he was benevolent and well-meaning and is trying to move Americans forward, even as his prison reform and his criminal crime bill, I mean, tens of thousands of young black men were put in jail, and many of these families that were destroyed as a result. He also had many black leaders at the time that supported this policy, because you had all this violence and these drugs going on in these communities, and something had to be done. It did clean these communities up, but the price was so overwhelming that now people say it was a bad idea. I mean, you look at the personal accountability and responsibility of what's going on in these cities like Chicago and Atlanta and New York, and you ask yourself, why is there such a high crime rate and disenfranchisement among people who happen to be black? We know it's not because they're black, because God created us all equal. We may make unequal choices. We may not want the same thing. We may not have the same work ethic and discipline, but we know it's not because of the person's race why they're not achieving. Well, is it the culture? Is it because parents tell them that America is still racist and they never can achieve, so don't try? Is it because you're not encouraged to take responsibility for your actions and realize that, yes, while racism exists, that's only part of the issue. You cannot use racism and all its issues, isms, to explain away every issue that impacts you and your progress forward. So I think what America is saying, you cannot be tied to those ideas of the past that have not worked. Are you willing to tweak? Are you willing to tweak welfare? Are you willing to tweak affirmative action? Are you willing to look at what may have actually worked and highlight that and then push back on everything that hasn't? You cannot, because listen, people are suffering. And so people get to the point and say, look, I got to try something different.
Yeah, that is, I think, such a well put and very important point, Armstrong Williams, our guest here on Jimmy at the Crossroads. And I particularly think so because what you're talking about and your point is well taken about Joe Biden in two levels. One, he certainly has done things in his 47 years in office, especially when he was in the United States Senate. Whether they are good or bad things is certainly up to judgment calls by the American people. And we'll see what happens next Tuesday on Election Day as well and how the people judge that. And also his intentions. I certainly do not think that Joe Biden has any ill intentions. But as we know, and I love Milton Friedman, he loved to say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So we have to keep that in mind, that good intentions do not lead to good results. And what you're getting at is a result of decades of policies that have been centered on the idea that government should be empowered with greater authority to provide for the people in terms of all sorts of various social welfare programs and what have you, that the Democrats have particularly been very much advocates for and opposed to, with the exception of some minor changes back in the 1990s under President Bill Clinton working with the Republican Congress, of course. But by and large, they have been very resistant to trying to change and reform these programs to improve lives and get people out of poverty. And I think now with President Trump and his policies over the past few years, they're starting, the American people are seeing the results of what can happen if you actually do come in with the sense that the individual should be empowered, not the government, in terms of these kinds of policies.
You know, and that's another excellent insight on your part, because remember, even the Republicans did not want to pass Trump's second chance bill. They did not want to pass it. The Democrats had every opportunity to pass it, and they didn't. And to be fair, both parties did not want it. You know, because Trump is an outsider, because he doesn't mind blowing up the whole room to do it his way, and because he has literally become all aspects of the Republican Party and policy from the White House to Congress, he's the kind of guy who's no nonsense, who doesn't really build allies. He's created a lot of adversaries, but they know Trump could care anything about the rules and the guidelines and the decorum. You don't want to offend this senator. You want to have him on board. Trump is more like he's anti-establishment. He'll just go ahead and blow the place up and let's just start this all over again. He would not be as effective had he come up in politics, had he been an elected official, had he been built relationships with his colleagues, because he would have more of a sense of betrayal, even though that betrayal would mean that these programs would actually work for the American people. They value their relationships more than the progress of everyday people. So Trump would be very effective, but it comes with a price. The impeachment, the investigations, the witch hunts against him, the laughter at him, the marginalizing of him. But Trump has been very effective in showing that in Washington, D.C., if you're willing to go it alone and willing to be an outsider, willing to be authentic, willing to be transparent, people can call you whatever they want to call you, you can get a lot done. Most elected officials would not do that. And let me take it even further. I don't know any Republican today would have put everything on the line for Brett Kavanaugh back in the summer to get him on the Supreme Court. Would not have happened. Only a Trump could make that possible. I don't know any other Republican who would not want to offend their Democratic colleagues a month before the election, would have put everything on the line to move forward, Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. That could have never happened with any other Republican except a Donald Trump.
That is so true.
What the left are the right things. This is what I'm going
to
do.
And that is one thing that draws in, I think, a lot of people to President Trump is the idea that he is a fighter. He will fight for what he believes in. He will work hard to pursue his agenda. Look, in 2016, I was a big-time Trump skeptic during the primary. But what brought me on board was the Supreme Court, and especially that first list of 11 potential justices that he put forward, because he didn't need to do that. He was about to secure the Republican nomination, but he knew he needed to send a message to the conservative base of the Republican Party that he would appoint constitutionalist, originalist justices to the Supreme Court. And not only has he done that three times, but the judiciary itself, in terms of the courts of appeals and the district courts, have also been rebalanced. You look at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I think there were 11 more Democrat-appointed judges on the Ninth Circuit when President Trump took office than Republican. And now there are only three more Democrat-appointed judges on the Ninth Circuit than when Trump took office. That's remarkable, and that sends a message to a lot of people that, yes, you do have a guy who will fight for his agenda, whatever it takes.
Absolutely. And that's leadership, unapologetic leadership. And there's no doubt in the minds of the American people that Donald Trump is running this country the way he wants to run. Doesn't always turn out the best, let me just tell you. That formula could be very chaotic. He never has time to enjoy any victory or any success because he's always mired in chaos, and the media takes him to task. But he gets things done at the end of the day.
Two final questions for you, Armstrong Williams. I want to ask you in terms of something you said in the New York Times interview coming out of the magazine on Sunday about the black community. You say, quote, they don't trust the Republican Party on the issue of race. And you're also very clear, especially when asked by the interviewer about this, that it's perception and it is not reality. Can you explain what you mean by that and what Republicans really need to do? And maybe they're doing it now, especially with President Trump, in order to make inroads and change that perception.
Well, Jimmy, as I said in my interview, as they were talking about the release of my new book, is that whether it was Ronald Reagan, Bush 1, Bush 2, John McCain, Mitt Romney, Donald Trump, they're all accused as being racist. Why? Because that is the narrative that the media pushes. So when you label someone with that for so long, it's like the person that cried wolf. People say, okay, whatever, moving on. And it's more the perception because the mainstream media, which is the biggest public relations firm for the Democratic Party, realizes that if black Americans ever wake up and realize, particularly with someone like Donald Trump, has done more to move forward the agenda of black Americans, more so than Barack Obama, taking nothing away from him. And again, Barack Obama could not get away with the things that Trump is doing for that community. He could not do it. They would not allow it. The system would not allow it. And he wants to be liked. He wants to be respected. And he wants to get along. Trump could care less about getting along. Trump said that America's treated black Americans unfairly for too long, and it's time that they get their just due. And he means that through policy. It's just not rhetoric. And so the bottom line is for this man, Trump is necessary for this time. Whether people understand it or not. Now, look, he's not going to be a role model and a moral example for your kids.
True.
He's not somebody you're going to want to say, this is my role model. But in terms of his leadership, his spite, his courage, the way he defeated that coronavirus. And let me tell you, for those skeptics that believe that Trump did not have the coronavirus, I can tell you firsthand, I know firsthand he had the coronavirus because the day before he announced Amy Coney Barrett at the White House, we interviewed him in Atlanta and we thought there was something a little off then. And one of my videographers a couple of days later tested positive for COVID-19 and he felt he got it in Atlanta. And so this was before the president ever announced. So there's no question in my mind the president had that COVID, but he refused to allow it to defeat him. He got out of that bed, I was worried about him. I thought he had lost his mind. He has more energy. He's in far better physical condition than Joe Biden. And it made this miraculous recovery. And what it says to the American people, I got the virus. I can survive it. Don't let it own you. And we're talking about a 74-year-old man here. This is no baby.
Mm-mm.
Okay? So you got to respect the man is courageous. The man is tough. The man will fight for what he believes in. And the man has no shame.
And coming from an entrepreneurial background, he's looking at results going into the White House. That was what he was doing in terms of his mindset, as you well know, being an entrepreneur yourself, Armstrong Williams. So just a final question here. Where do you see things going on Tuesday, particularly vis-a-vis the presidential election, but also in terms of the U.S. Senate?
Well, the Republicans will keep the Senate. I'm not going to make a prediction on the presidential race. I'm just not. Because I tell you, it could go either way, depending on Pennsylvania, which the president is leading in right now. And the reason why Joe Biden is going back to Minnesota, the president is leading in Minnesota, and the Democrats have not lost Minnesota in a long time. And in terms of these absentee ballots, depending on who the judges are, and depending on who the lawmakers and the legislators are, many of them will be tossed out. They will not pass the muster. It has always been that way. Early voting counts and showing up to the polls counts. And for people to believe just because over 6 to 7 million people have voted in the early voting stages, this is a good sign for the Democrats. The Democrats will tell you privately they did not get the kind of votes and the support they thought they would get. They were a little worried. And they know the Republicans are going to show up and vote on Tuesday because 98% of their base is enthusiastic about their candidate. Unlike what you see with the small crowds with Biden, Trump's is up with capacity crowds wherever he goes. So it could go either way. I believe that the person that wins Pennsylvania and Michigan can win this election in a less protracted way by a landslide. That's what I say. It's up for grabs. But listen, don't believe the polls. Because one thing that may happen when all this is said and done, Jimmy, is that the pollsters will have no credibility and will go out of business, and the media will never be trusted again.
All right, that is it for us today here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Unfortunately, out of time. We'll be back next week. Make sure to get your votes in. We will persevere. I feel good about Tuesday nationally. Have a great rest of weekend. Happy Halloween, and may God bless America.